Yeah.
Wow.
There it is. Get some uplifting music.
That's some sweet stuff.
To get us
man.
Ready for the Illinois State Fair.
Is that Sammy Hagar or something?
It's so you can see. I don't know if he's playing at the Illinois State Fair, but someone like Hagar usually plays.
Foghat is playing.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I'd see that. And when you throw the darts at the balloons, and if you get a couple, you get a decorative mirror.
Yeah, I love
you know,
the decorative
mirror. Those are great. They still have those.
Yeah.
Mike Fouché is here to talk, to preview the Illinois State Fair, which is coming up, but also to talk school funding. He joins us every Wednesday.
I'm previewing the State Fair.
You're previewing the State Fair. We're talking about all the amenities, all the great things you can get.
Butter cow.
Yeah, the butter cow. Mike, good to see you, buddy.
It's great to be here.
Of course, with the Daily Line, joins us every Wednesday to talk politics. Let's talk about school funding. Thursday is the deadline that we once again are going to blow through. That districts were supposed to get the number, the money, the whatever the cost, whatever it was going to be that was going to be allocated to their district in the state by Thursday.
Right.
They're not getting it this time. It's not ready to go.
Nope.
It won't be ready even if they override a veto next week.
Right.
I mean,
need at least a full week. But by the time the legislation is passed, all the different organizations in the state government have told us you need at least a full week.
Now, you've told us and you've explained that most schools can borrow and maneuver and
right.
move around. So it's not we're not in a situation
right.
where schools are in
right.
danger of not opening.
And officially, no school has told the State Board of Education that they're going to be shutting down. So this is official now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But here's where the rub is. If this moves on and moves forward, there will be a certain point where they'll run out of money.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
some
yeah,
have
yeah.
less money
probably,
than others.
Probably in a month. Like, if nothing is done, you know, by mid-September, schools will begin to, like, start saying, oh, yeah, we're going to close October 1st or something like that. But that's very real. Exactly where, you know, what's up with getting the money? I mean, you know, it's really all about when the legislature is going to pass something. And it looks like what's going to happen on Saturday is that the Senate is going to meet and they're going to just crush the amendatory veto. So you have two choices.
Okay.
You can have a vote to override. In order to do that, you have to have a majority or you vote to try to support it. And in that case, you also have to have a supermajority. You have to have a 3/5 vote.
So you're either voting against it or for it.
Right.
And what route does it look like the Senate's going to take?
It looks like it's not, they'll take some kind of vote. But the thing is that if it's not supported, if the vote to support it doesn't pass, then it's a full veto and the whole thing crashes.
There's no way they're going to, I mean, it's a Democratic Senate. They're not going to vote to support the amendatory veto.
Right. They actually have a supermajority in the Senate of Democrats. And so they'll probably just vote to destroy it and turn it into a full veto.
And then the full veto moves to the House, right?
Well, no, that if one House does that, then it's all over. So, you know, once one House says, that's it. It's all over. So probably what's going to happen is that the Senate is going to meet sometime around noon on Sunday, and then they're going to vote to crush it, and then that'll be it. And we'll have to start all over again. And what's looking like is that Monday and Tuesday, there's not going to be any meetings or session. Speaker Mike Madigan just announced that on Wednesday, he's calling everybody into the House to meet, which incidentally
is Governor's Day,
where all the Republicans are supposed to be busy walking
Classy
around
move,
State Fair.
Right, and right.
They have a barbecue that's kind of cool. And, you know, so, I mean, basically Madigan has said, sorry, you know, forget your Governor's Day. You're going to be hanging out in the Capitol.
If we can't have our Democrats' Day, it's your
right,
Governor's Day.
Right.
Well, so let's talk about this. Of course, there was the amendatory veto of Governor Rauner. In that veto, we're finding out more and more as you sort of look down the what actually was put in place for this amendatory veto, what the plan is for the governor. And one of the things that really kind of confused me, and it seems to confuse journalists and everyone, is that the numbers were wrong. There was some sort of play where the numbers that were given to, was it the State Board of Ed, were wrong, and the way that they were crunched was wrong when it came to TIFs. Where are we at with that? What is happening?
So
there's wrong math going on.
There's an official scoring that needs to be done by the State Board of Education in order to figure out exactly how much money every single district would get as a result of this legislation. And so everyone is waiting for the official Board of Education scoring so that we can say whether or not districts are getting more or less money.
Which is what the governor has been saying on his media.
According to the governor. Right. The governor released, he had a website where he said, well, these are my calculations, but none of that is official. None of it really counts. It has to be by the Board of Education. And what the Board of Education has said is, well, actually, some of the stuff that we got is incorrect, and there is a lot of changes. They haven't said exactly what is incorrect, but the phrasing seems like there is something that was hinky or done incorrectly with the governor's stuff. So the Board of Education is now having to redo stuff and try and figure out. It's not clear exactly what it is, and they won't talk about it, but we know is that they're delaying, and the only reason that there could be a delay is that there was something wrong with the materials that the governor gave.
Mike, I'm not going to ask you to editorialize or to throw your opinion out, but there are two sides to this that say that SB 1 was a good bill, that it had a good idea for funding schools across the – it was as equitable. We've heard from different groups have come out. The governor has gone 180 on that, where he has gone on the media tour saying this was Speaker Madigan's way once again, where he is destroying the state of Illinois. He's trying to give freebies and bailouts to the city of Chicago. Where are we in the truth when it comes to a school funding formula bill that is working its way through Springfield?
So let me tell you who it is that I've talked to and what it is that they said. Of course, all of the teachers' unions throughout the state, not just CTU, but you know the IFT and the IEA, are all in favor of SB1. They think that the SB1 system is better. But also the Illinois Association of School Board School Business Officials, who are basically the people who have to deal with the budgets, they have come out and said that they felt that the SB1 method was better. The Illinois Association of School Boards came out to say, well, we're not necessarily in favor of SB1, but we like the system that it has. Other education, pro-education organizations throughout the state, nobody has come out to say we're against SB1. The worst that they've said is we would like to see something passed that uses the funding formula and the systems that SB1 has.
And really finds a way to divorce itself from the pension pickups and the things that the governor had a problem with.
Right. I mean, the issue that a lot of Republicans have is that they don't like the pension pickup that the city gets out of SB1. They don't like the size of the extra money that Chicago schools get out of SB1. Those are the really big things. But what's interesting is that Rahner's mandatory veto, which was very extensive, went into a whole series of additional things. So not just those two things, but it also changed the way that the funding formula works. It's very complicated, this issue about how you calculate the property wealth of a district in as you try and figure out how much money they should get from the state and whether or not a TIF is included in calculating that property wealth. Well, Chicago has a lot of TIFs, and Republicans downstate in the suburbs feel that Chicago, and this is a term that they used in a hearing today that I went to, they kept saying Chicago is hiding its wealth behind TIFs because the TIF isn't calculated. Their argument is, okay, well, Chicago is getting extra money. But the thing is that there was testimony today, there's a lot of places that are not Chicago that use TIFs. And so there's a lot of collateral damage
these changes are to take on Chicago, there are other communities that are not Chicago that could be affected by it.
And you know, it can be for them, it's $100,000, which is a lot of money. That might be a teacher or two.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line in studio. We're talking about school funding and the issues that are happening right now in Springfield and will happen next week. We'll continue the conversation. Stay with us. There we go. Mike Fouché in studio. We're talking school funding and the debate that continues. One of the things that was in the mandatory veto, which is interesting, is a change to how pension pickups get sort of how it all gets played out with teachers.
What it does is that it changes it so that new teachers don't get the same pension pickup throughout the entire state, which is like huge.
What is the teachers union? That's just not going to fly.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter in Chicago, but the other teachers' unions are pretty upset about it. And the school districts are very upset about it, and because this is not something they were warned about, and it came completely out of left field.
Now, these are things that are in the amendatory veto. Let's say that what happens on Sunday is they crush the amendatory veto. Do the Republicans, Brady in the Senate, Durkin in the House, do they have the kind of clout from this political fight to add some of the things that were brought up by Rauner in the amendatory veto to a new bill that'll be circulated? Or will Democrats do what they've done before, which is just reintroduce it and try again?
I doubt that they're just going to reintroduce it. I mean, what really the talk that we're hearing from the negotiators in both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, is that there's going to be a new bill and people are talking very seriously about what the things are that are going to be considered. I think we're going to see less money for CPS. I think we're going to see, you know, whether it's the pension pickup or the block grant. I think we're going to see maybe some changes to the TIF stuff, but probably, I don't know, that doesn't seem necessarily realistic. One thing that's actually gotten a lot of attention that's very hot is this idea of tax scholarships, you know, which is essentially vouchers for private schools and parochial schools.
Do you think that that's something that the Democrats in Springfield would go for?
Ah, man. I mean, you know.
That's a hard one.
I think really the question is, you know, the Republicans really, they have some currency here, which is that you need to get 71 votes in the House, and the Democrats don't have that. And so they're going to get some stuff. You know, it's really what's really, really interesting is how well Bruce Rauner decides to negotiate. You know,
and that's and Mike, I mean, we've been talking on the show weekly. One of the things that rarely happens in this political climate in the state of Illinois is any sort of compromise or negotiation. It's my way or the highway. If you have an amendatory veto that has all these things in there that Democrats are like, no way. And you know, Republicans around are saying no way to a pension pickup. I mean, I just based on the last 3 years, how do you see these guys coming together to get something done?
You know, talking to the rank and file members in the House and the Senate, I think that they are very anxious to do a deal. And there's some really fun stuff. I mean, like, Representative Bob Pritchard, who's a Republican from the Northwest suburbs, he announced that he's retiring. I'm sorry, from the Western suburbs. He announced that he's retiring. This guy has just got a, you know, no F's kind of attitude. And he is just going. I mean, it's awesome. It's like Bullworth. It's incredible. I mean, he is just really tearing everybody a new one. It's really great. And he's really, really, really realistic about what it is going to happen or not happen. And I think that there's a lot of people like that. They're just like, you know what? We're going to get this done and we're going to get it done right. So I think that something's going to happen outside of the leaders.
I got to say, as we wrap up here, I'm flabbergasted. And I think it's interesting that for years in this town, we have had a progressive agenda talking about TIFs, talking about how we've heard from Ben Jarofsky at the Reader to you know, others who have talked about that Chicago's not broke. They're doing it on purpose.
Right.
It's been really sort of coming from the left.
Right.
It's interesting to see that rhetoric and that argument is being adopted almost as a foundation for the Republicans in Springfield. I'm fascinated by it.
You know, I think that, you know, fiscal conservative Republicans really despise Chicago's TIF system because they know that it basically, I mean, there is truth to what they're saying is that it hides wealth from the state. And the problem, though, is that the argument the Republicans are saying is that it's hiding wealth from the state. But the problem is that all, and this, you keep hearing this from all the superintendents who testified today, is that there's not enough money going to schools in the first place. You know, it's 29% of the total funding is coming.
And they're saying we don't want to give that money. Go get it from your TIFs.
Right. And
which is kind
and
of
the
ridiculous,
superintendents
right?
are saying, hey, look, you know, we even if that happened, there still wouldn't be equity in funding. Really, we need to have, you know, almost twice as much money coming from the state anyway.
Yeah. Mike Fouché from The Daily Line joins us every Wednesday here. You can also check out the podcast AlderCast, which is right here in WGN Plus, comes out Fridays.
Yep.
Mike, great to see you.
Great to be here.